Free to get all those remodel jobs done, from back deck to the bathroom. Call Complete Renovations to get your renovations done right. Go online or call 785-587-0200.
And Kathy Dawes again, along with Dr. Stephen Higgs, Biosecurity Research Institute Director. And I know, of course, we were talking about mosquito-borne viruses, which you were just telling me before we went back on the air that you've always been intrigued with mosquitoes and insects. And so this was not unusual for you to go into this as a profession, I guess.
No. As I just told you, so as I was growing up, you know, I remember sort of 3 years old, my mother used to come back from shopping. She used to go shopping every day in a little market town where we grew up, and she'd always carry a matchbox. My dad was a heavy smoker, and she would take a matchbox and show back up at the house with moths and things that she'd collected in street doorways and things. So that kind of got me started, I think.
Well, mosquitoes are so tiny, but boy, they can do a lot of damage. It's obvious. And a lot of these different viruses and diseases that we've talked about are mosquito-borne.
That's right. There are numbers out there. I mean, mosquitoes, as a bug, as an insect, kill more people than any other animal every year, which is, you know, amazing, because, you know, most of us sort of just ignore them.
Let's get back to the BRI a little bit, too. And it's wonderful you were able to give a tour to the Blue Ribbon panel. And I guess President Myers was part of that tour, too. And I know he spoke later in the day at the panel and had a lot of good things to say also. But a lot of things going on right now. And I remember, I've been here about 15 years, and I remember some activity over there at the BRI, but you say it's really increased the activity level.
It has, which is wonderful to see. So the BRI is basically divided into three primary research areas. There's the foodborne pathogens, there's the plant pathogens, and then there's the animal livestock pathogens. And part of the operation is that we take a third of the BRI, one of those research areas, down for 3 months or sometimes more for annual maintenance. I mean, it's absolutely critical. We do maintenance all the time. You know, we're always keeping a check and balances on everything, and everything is monitored at the BRI as it runs. But it just happens that from November to 1st of February, we had the livestock area down, for example, where we go in and all of the filters are changed. Everything is checked. I mean, we've got 30 wonderful employees at the BRI. We've got a phenomenal maintenance and coordinating team and educators and safety and so forth. And those people basically go into that area once we're shut down, decontaminated, to check everything, change out things, you know, tighten the joints and do everything. It's a very complicated job, you know, in the computer technology that's in that facility. So that was shut down from, like I say, November until February 1st. And then we have now got back-to-back studies going until we're shut down later this year in November. That happened last year for the first time. It's happened this year. And we're already booking studies for next year, believe it or not. So we've got 13 studies in livestock. So, I mean, you know, we do research on animals. It's all very, very carefully approved and scrutinized. They get the best veterinary care in the world, I would imagine, to support that research. And the purpose of the research is to protect those animals from devastating diseases, you know, often fatal diseases. So we're looking at diagnostics. We're looking at vaccine development to protect those animals from disease. So we've got, what have we got? We've got a study with vesicular stomatitis virus at the moment. We've got Rift Valley fever, classical swine fever, African swine fever, Japanese encephalitis, highly pathogenic avian influenza, which, you know, I'm sure that the listeners have heard about. So we got all those studies going from now until November. Exciting.
Some of these are ones we've heard of for years. Some are new. I mean, do we continue to see new things coming out here?
Well, obviously the avian influenzas are constantly evolving and constantly changing and have been responsible for killing, you know, millions of poultry over the years. You know, relatively recently, there were, you know, outbreaks last year. So we've known about all of these, but they're relative importance changes. You know, African swine fever has been moving around Europe the last few years. Japanese encephalitis virus, that's a new area that has been developed in the last 2 years for the BRI. Then there are plant pathogens as well. So we're continuing to work on wheat blast that for the first time got out of Brazil and Bolivia last year and has devastated crops in Bangladesh, and is already being seen in Bangladesh. They have not eradicated it, so they're going to be suffering again this year, a staple food crop for them. And then Jim Stack from Plant Pathology, he's going to be doing a new project on this really, really odd bacteria, Raithiobacter toxicus. So this is it's a pathogen that occurs in Australia. It infects grass. The life cycle is odd because it's basically transmitted to grass by a nematode worm. And then when it infects the grass, it produces a toxin. And animals that eat the toxin can die. It's actually, in terms of toxicity to sheep, it's more toxic than ricin is to people. It's a fascinating pathogen. So that's going to be a new area of research for us.
Does anything surprise you anymore? I know we're both in professions where probably not, or do you still get surprised? Do you get frustrated? I mean, you seem like an optimistic guy just generally.
Oh, I have to be.
but do you ever get frustrated and just wonder, is there any way to take care of all this after a certain point?
I am optimistic. I'm always optimistic. I mean, every day here is sort of a joy to work here. And I'm an optimistic. I mean, Mother Nature is the mother of invention and is often ahead of us. It would be wonderful to be able to predict what's next. Am I surprised? I suppose I'm more fascinated by surprise by most of these things. Like I say, it would be wonderful if you knew what was next. You just know that something is next.
Well, in the meantime, of course, one thing we might differentiate a little too, because I jumped to the erroneous conclusion when you said the animal portion of BRI is pretty active right now, that might have something to do with NBAF. Really doesn't. I mean, they're very different facilities in what they accomplish, and maybe we should clarify that a little bit for folks.
They are. So the state of Kansas developed a very generous award, $35 million over 7 years. Dr. Ron Truen is in charge of that. And that does provide a substantial amount of support to our projects at the BRI. And those are obviously related to the National BioAgro Defense Facility. It's not just research. It's training. It's workforce development. I had a super student, Jolene Carlson, who was a student in the College of Vet Medicine and needed a project, and that State of Kansas Fund supported her research, and she did that at Plum Island. It was a collaborative training opportunity, and she got her PhD September time, and guess what? Got a job instantly at a wonderful facility, a modern facility in Reims, Germany, the Friedrich Loeffler Institute. It would be wonderful to see somebody like that come back when NBAF is recruiting. But
is the United States keeping up? And I know that there was some discussion with the panel. We only have a couple minutes, so I hate to bring up a whole new subject. But it did briefly come up with the new president. I mean, I'm sure there's a little bit of uncertainty about financing and that kind of thing. But just some of your thoughts.
There is uncertainty. I'm confident that anybody in that position is acting in the best interests of the United States and of the world. And I think President Trump is doing that. I think there may be some changes in priority and funding streams, but I honestly believe what we do here at K-State is so important that funding will be maintained in that area.
Well, and that's always good to hear, too. We only have about half a minute left. If there's anything else you're wanting to emphasize today, we've covered a lot of territory, Stephen, and I've really appreciated that opportunity to visit more with you. But just anything else for folks out there before we wrap up?
stay optimistic like me. And you know I'm going to say wear that mosquito repellent when you're going overseas, don't you?
Very good. Been a pleasure, as always, to have Dr. Stephen Higgs with us today, Biosecurity Research Institute Director, and you've been listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
All right, Kathy, good job this morning. Thank you much. Appreciate Dr. Higgs being back in the show today. Yes, mosquito repellent wherever you go. Tomorrow on KMAN's In Focus, we'll be featuring Manhattan Mayor Yusha Reddy and City Manager Ron Fear to get a preview of tomorrow night's City Commission meeting, in which they'll discuss that rental licensing program. Should be a hot point of an issue. Coming up next hour, Clark Howard, then the Rush Limbaugh Show has nothing to say. Dan Patrick, and then the game with Wildcat Insider Today, Wyatt Thompson, to join us. The Jeff Mitty Show tonight at 6 on KMAN.
Shop local. From flooring to inspiration to expert advice, Carpet One of Manhattan. They've got you covered. KMAN, Manhattan.
CBS News. I'm Steve Kathan. Key members of the Trump administration are overseas.
The United States' commitment to the European...